Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find in your Bible John chapter 19, verse 16? John chapter 19, verse 16. We'll focus this day on the cross. It may also help you to find this piece of paper entitled, "The Cross is God's Magnet," and take a few notes as God speaks to your heart. Let me state the obvious. Some things attract us, other things repel us. For instance, a friend of mine told me that they had talked their 16-year-old son into going with them to a family wedding in Atlanta. He really didn't want to go. So on the way back, this wonderful father said, "Okay, Joe, what was your favorite feature of the wedding?" Joe said, "The ride back home." Some people attract 16-year-olds. Some things repel. And that's how we're all wired. But today, what I want to suggest to you is that the cross of Jesus Christ is very much that same way. The cross of Jesus Christ is elevated, and it attracts and repels. So today we're doing what Jesus commanded in John 12:32. He said, "If I am lifted up, I'll do the work of drawing people to myself." Now, let me suggest something to you about the magnet of the cross. It declares, as the core of the gospel, please make this note, that Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for everyone. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world," not just a segment of the world or certain types of people and certain places, centuries, or cultures, but He loves all people. That means that you matter to God. No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, you count. You matter to God. We saw this vividly on display in India a few weeks ago. As we traveled through India, we dedicated four churches, and then on the top of every one of those churches, in an area where there are less than 0.5% people who are followers of Christ, there were crosses. And these crosses were beaming this message that Jesus is for everyone. We were holding high the cross of Jesus Christ. And it was amazing, friends. As we elevated Jesus, we saw people come, not only into the buildings, but come into the kingdom. We had over 150 people give their life to Christ because Jesus is for everyone. Yeah, we had different languages, different cuisines, different cultures, different clothes. We're from different countries, but that didn't make any difference because, you see, at the foot of the cross, we're all the same because Jesus is for everyone. And there's this irresistible appeal. There's a magnetism about the cross. Now, it doesn't make sense. You would imagine that a man dying on a cross in a ghastly, horrific fashion would be repelling, but for so many people, it is attracting because it's a demonstration of God's great love for us. Now, Jesus said it in John 12, verse 32. Please note, "If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." And that's what's happening here in this passage. Let's come now to John 19. We'll begin in verse 16. Then they delivered Jesus to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and they went out, and he bore his own cross to a place called the Skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him with two other men, one on either side, Jesus in between. Pilate wrote an inscription that said, "Put it above the cross, it is written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Therefore, this inscription many of the Jews read, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. It was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests and the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate said, "What I've written, I have written." The soldiers, therefore, when they crucified him, took his outer garments, and they made four parts, a part for each soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece, and they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be, that the scripture would be fulfilled," and that's in Psalm 22, verse 18, "that they divided his outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. There was standing at the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," that's John, "standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' He said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had been accomplished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop, and they brought it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross for the Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they may be taken away. But when they came to do this to Jesus, they found he was already dead." Skip to verse 35. "And he who has seen has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling you the truth so that you may believe." Let's pray. Father, pray that you would get me out of the way, and that elevated over this service, elevated in our hearts and minds, would be your cross, your magnetic demonstration that everybody counts and that you love everyone. Father, may your spirit deposit the seed of your transforming truth into every receptive heart. It's in Jesus' name we ask for it. Amen. Well, please again refer to your outline. The cross is an irresistible and universal magnet containing three features. Number one, the magnetism of love. Would you make that note? The magnetism of love. Here's how I see it. You see, the cross is almost like a plus sign. And when you add Jesus to your life, when you add that plus sign to your life, that is the ultimate expression of God's love for you and provision for you. For instance, you can look into a telescope and you can see the vastness of the universe and see within this vast universe God has provided. You can look into a microscope and you can see the intricacies of creation. And you know within the intricacies of those creations, God has provided as a love gift for you. From the sunrise to a sunfish, from the nursing home to a nursery, if you'll look carefully, you will see the provision of God that proclaims, "I love you." We learn in Romans 1 that creation proclaims the glories of God. But the ultimate demonstration of God's love for you is the cross. Look on your worksheet. Jesus said, "No greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." But Romans 5:8 says it best. Romans 5:8 says that God has demonstrated his great love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were ugly, rebellious sinners, turning our back on God, disregarding him, mocking him, while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us as an expression of God's love. And my friends, that's what I have you see today, that God's love is so unique. It is magnetic because it is genuine and it is unconditional. Human love, in contrast, is oftentimes very conditional. I'll love you if you do something for me. I'll love you if you look good. I'll love you if you can benefit my cause. I heard this story about this couple. They were in a big argument, and she finally just got fed up with her husband, and she said, "Bill, if it weren't for my money, that 60-inch plasma TV would not be here. And Bill, furthermore, if it weren't for my money, that $3,000 leather sofa would not be here. And Bill, if it weren't for my money, this beautiful house in this fine neighborhood wouldn't be here. Finally, Bill had enough. He said, "Well, honey, if it weren't for your money, I wouldn't be here either." You know what that is? Conditional love. I love you because how you look, what you can do for me, if you can benefit my cause. But that's not God's love. You see, God doesn't predicate his love on what we can do for him. God loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. Here's what I've discovered, friends. We are all in deep need of inner healing. And it's the love of Christ that brings worth, dignity, and value to every person. So when you add the love of Jesus to your life, he brings this inner help and healing. He begins to mold you into his image. He produces within you the fruit of his spirit, all because of his love. Well, let's look at number two, the magnetism of love and the magnetism of forgiveness. The magnetism of forgiveness. Let's pick up here on Isaiah 43, verse 25. The scripture proclaims, "I am the one who wipes your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin anymore." You see, people were drawn to the cross because they were looking for forgiveness. People are in desperate need of cleansing. They want a new chance. They want to start over. Now, in the human family, let me tell you how we oftentimes operate. We don't let people be forgiven. We don't erase. We don't rub it out. We rub it in. Have you ever noticed that? You make a mistake, I catch you. I want to be competitive with you. I want to rub it in. I've been watching some basketball, March Madness, you know. And I grew up playing a lot of basketball. I love basketball. Never was that good, but sure enjoyed it. Well, when I was about ninth grade, I was on the junior varsity team there at Georgetown High School. And there was another fellow on the team. I was Jay, and he was Ray. And we were second stringers and got to play when the score got a little higher. And one day we were playing the Round Rock Dragons. And we were the Georgetown Eagles. They were our arch rival. Well, we got out there on the floor, and we'd kind of gotten ahead. And so they sent in Ray and Jay. And, man, a rebound caromed off, and Ray grabbed it. And he thought he was under our goal. He was under their goal. He got so excited, he shot it and made 2 points for the other team. Boom. I think they were the only 2 points he made all year. So he had a minus two. Now, how do you think a group of junior high boys treated that incident? Was there a lot of back patting? Was there sympathy? No. You should have seen the bus ride on the way home. From that day forward, he was called Wrong Way Ray. Did they rub it out? No, like a lot of people, they spent time rubbing it in. That's not how Jesus operates. You see, when Jesus showed up, he turned that cross into an eraser. He spent a lot of time rubbing it out. Aren't you glad? See, the Bible says that he did this by the power of his blood. Look on your worksheet in Ephesians 1:7. We learn in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus was teaching, and there were so many people gathered there that the crowd was massive, and there was a man who was paralyzed. He was so blessed. He had four friends who wanted to help him out, but they saw the crowd was so large, they couldn't get to Jesus, and they became creative. So they did an end run. They went up to the back of the house, and they tore a hole in the roof, and they lowered this paralyzed fella down right in front of Jesus on a sheet and four ropes. You remember the story. But we learn in Mark chapter 2, verse 5, something extraordinary. Jesus looked at this guy who, on the outside, had a terrible need. He was paralyzed. And yet Jesus said, that's not his greatest need. Because Jesus looked at him and he said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." though he had a great physical problem, his greater problem was spiritual. He was disconnected to God because of his sin. Always remember that, friend. You see, your greatest need is not your physical need, not your emotional need. It is your spiritual need. You are disconnected from a holy God because of your sin. So Jesus comes on that cross, and what does he do? He redeems you. By his blood, he brings an eraser, and you are cleansed. Now, let me give you an application point. You see, if Jesus has forgiven you and you've received it, you need to pass it on. We learn in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? As Christ has forgiven you. That is the call of God, for you to be a forgiver. And that's activated, we learn in 1 John 1:9. When you confess your sin and realize that God is faithful and just, and he will forgive your sin, and he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, let me show you another feature of the cross. There's the fact that the cross is the magnetism of love, that's the plus sign, the magnetism of forgiveness, the eraser, and then the magnetism of victory. Please make that note, the magnetism of victory. Jesus said in John 12, verse 31, now judgment is upon this world, and the ruler of this world shall be cast out. He is referring to Satan. You see, Jesus calls Satan the prince of this world. And at the cross, Jesus would take the sledgehammer of his sacrifice, and he would do what is predicted in Genesis 3, verse 15. It's predicted that the foot of the Savior would crush the heel of the evil one, the devil. Now, he would be bruised, but Satan would be defeated. And that's what happens. Jesus is victorious at the cross. There's this epic struggle going on at the cross. There's this monumental collision between the forces of good and God and Satan and evil. And Jesus prevails. He wins. He is the victor. That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 15, now thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. To put it in a simple graphic way, you, my friend, are not a victim. Do you know what you are? You are God's victor. You see, on the cross, Jesus won the ultimate trophy. And if he wins the championship, that means you're a champion too. You're not a victim in this world. You are God's victor. That's the essence of the good news. You see, at the cross, Jesus defeated the evil one. And so he invites us to share his victory. Let me show you one more great, great truth, the application. The application is share the attraction. Share the attraction. And that means you are going to take up your cross, deny yourself every day, and follow Jesus. That's the goal. Now, when you take up your cross, and remember, the carpenter of Nazareth has constructed a cross that fits you. He has constructed a cross with your name on it. And you are to shoulder your own cross. What does that mean? It means that you are to share the love of Christ with everyone you meet. You are to engage in unconditional love, not conditioned love. You are to be a forgiver. Instead of being a person that rubs it in, you're called to rub it out. You're called to be a person who is kind, tenderhearted, forgiving others as Christ has forgiven you. And you are called to be a person who is not a victim in this world, who has given up and given in, but instead you are called to be a victor in Jesus Christ, who not only stands your ground, but you stand steady and you always abound in the work of the Lord. This is the calling of God for each of us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for the magnetism of the cross. We've done our best, Lord, to lift up your cross, the ultimate demonstration of love, forgiveness, and victory. And right now, I pray that you would help us to hear your call for us to be cross carriers. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.